You know, sometimes I talk in class all the time and my voice is so loud, I don't know if the mic is on or if the mic is off, so bear with me. But I serve as the president at Grace School of Theology, and it really is a joy to spend some of these Sunday mornings with you. I didn't travel lightly. I got my grandson with me, Braylon. Braylon, why don't you wave your hand? Show him some love, y'all. He's a track star, you guys, so you guys are going to be reading about him pretty soon. Really good on the track field. And then I brought my lovely wife, Sister Karen. Show her some love. Come on. Without the Lord and Sister Karen, I can't do what I do. And so I always appreciate her being here to help us worship and to do God's work. So there is a word from the Lord. And so let's bow before him and see what he has to say to us today. Father, you are great and you're greatly to be praised. We honor you and worship you. There is nobody like you. And you show us love and mercy and grace on a regular basis, and we sure do appreciate that. We appreciate you sending Jesus Christ to die for us, and we also appreciate you dispatching your Holy Spirit to those who trust Christ as Savior, the indwelling of that Holy Spirit and his ministry. And Lord, we thank you for a new hope and the leadership here, all of the folks who come week in and week out to make this ministry what you've called them to do and to be. And so we honor you. Lord, talk to me, through me, and for me. We give you honor today in the name of Jesus. Amen. It has been said that you can't start the next chapter of your life if you keep reading the last one. It's hard to move to the next chapter of your life if you're stuck in the current chapter. And so we all need to learn, ladies and gentlemen, how to move from one chapter of our lives to the next. In other words, we need to learn when to turn the page and maybe when to change jobs, when to end a toxic relationship, when to not respond to that social media post just one more time. They just got to hear me one more time. Sometimes it's just simply time to let it go and to move on. And so the critical question that I want to deal with today is, how do you move from one chapter of your life to the next? That's what I want to talk about just for a little while. How do you move from one chapter of your life to the next? And I want you, if you can and if you will, to turn with me to Joshua chapter 23. Please stand with me if you can and if you will for the reading of God's word. That's Joshua chapter 23. And I'm going to deal with the entire chapter, but right now simply read a snippet of this particular pericope. Starting at verse 1. It reads, "Now it came to pass, a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua was old, advanced in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, for their officers, and said to them, 'I am old, advanced in age. You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you.'" Verse 4. "See, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan with as all the nations that I have cut off and as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight so that you shall possess their land as the Lord your God promised you. Therefore, be courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. And lest you go among these nations, these who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause any to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them. But you shall hold fast to the Lord your God as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you as he promised you. Verse 11, therefore take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. And I want to speak just for a little while on this simple thought, how to move to the next chapter of your life. You may be seated. How to move to the next chapter of your life. When is it time to let certain things go? When is it time to make a change? When is it time to turn the page to the next chapter in your life? In fact, some of you came to church thinking about asking God certain questions. So what should I do now, Lord, in my life? Which direction should I go? What should I pick, this or that? Who should I love? Is it her or her? Is it him or him? Those are the questions that's running through your mind, and sometimes you need some assistance from God. You need some assistance from his word, and Joshua today gives us that assistance. As I deal with this passage, I want to take you through for a minute just the ABCs of the passage. So step into Dean Haywood's classroom just for a minute. The A stands for the author and the audience. The B stands for the book, and the C stands for the context in which this passage sits. And so the author and the audience, Joshua is the author of this particular passage. He gets credit for writing it. But odds are that somebody else wrote the very end of it because he dies in the very next chapter, ladies and gentlemen. And Joshua is one of those guys. He is one of two people from the preceding generation that was allowed to go into the promised land. If you know your Israel history, you'll know that God killed off the older generation in the wilderness. That's why they went around 40 years until that older generation died out. A new generation cropped up because the older generation did not believe that God could do what he said he could do. But Joshua and Caleb were two of those 12 spies that came back with a good report. And so it's Joshua and Caleb that go into the promised land. It's Joshua who is Moses' successor. And it's interesting that at the beginning of the book of Joshua, God refers to Joshua as Moses' assistant or Moses' servant. But I believe in my Holy Ghost imagination that God gave Joshua a promotion at the end because he started calling Joshua servant of the Lord. No more Moses' servant, but servant of the Lord. When you get to 24:29, that's what the text tells us. The original audience is the nation of Israel. You know your history that Jacob had 12 sons and one daughter. Those 12 sons became 12 tribes. The 12 tribes became the nation of Israel. And the title of the book carries Joshua's name, which means Yahweh saves. And that also means that if you translate Joshua's name into Aramaic, it would turn out to be Jesus, because Jesus, his name means God who saves, or the one who saves. And so Joshua is a type of Christ because he leads the nation into the promised land, something that Moses was not allowed to do. And so the theme of this book is entering and possessing the promised land. That's the theme. Enter and possess the promised land. Now they entered, but you can see in this passage of scripture, they haven't fully possessed the land because they still left some of the folk who were in the land. They remained in the land. God had told them to wipe them all out, but they did not. And of course, they became a snare and a thorn in their side. So the context here is Joshua is giving his swan song. He's giving his final speech, if you will. He's old. He's looking at the final days of his life. And so he decides that he wants to address all of the Israelites in the nation, primarily the leadership. And so Joshua becomes a planner, if you will, and we see how he plans to make this transition from his leadership to somebody else's leadership. We also see in the first two verses that God had made peace with them. They were at rest with all of their enemies who they had already wiped out, and the ones that remained were not bothering them at the time. But Joshua is very similar to Moses. They share things in common. Both of them led Israel across a body of water. Both of them had this theophany or this appearance of God before them. Both of them had to lift their staffs up in the crucial time of battle. Both of them built altars for the Lord. And like Moses, Joshua also has what we call this farewell speech. So the book kind of closes out the same way it begins. And so we in theological circles, literally we call that an inclusio. Say inclusio. Say inclusio. Yeah, and an inclusio is where you start out with one concept or one idea, and you end with the same concept or the same idea. And so Joshua gets his marching orders at the beginning of this book, but at the close of the book, Joshua is giving marching orders to that next generation, which forms what I would call an inclusio. So this is a period, ladies and gentlemen, both of prosperity, but a crisis in transition. It's a good time, but it's also a time of change. And some of you know that when you're going through some good times, you're going to experience some changes. And so we are able to pull the curtains back just a little bit, listen to the farewell sermon, the closeout message, the retirement speech, if you will, that Joshua gave to the nation. And so in this chapter, we're able to learn and see how Joshua moves to the next chapter in his life. Now, the speech has two parts, and we're going to run through them very quickly. But the first part deals with God's past promises to Israel that he had already performed. He said he was going to do it, and he did it. And then the second part, and that goes from verses 1 to 11. Then the second part is from 12 to 16, where you see a future focus of them being obedient and loving the Lord and sticking to God's word. And so I just have three quick principles that I want to share with you that will help you as you move from one chapter of your life to the next chapter of your life. And I don't know why, ladies and gentlemen, but change, most people don't like change. Most people don't want to deal with change. But if you live long enough, change is inevitable. I'm going to say it again. Change is inevitable. And so you might as well prepare because change is coming. I'm going to say that again. Change is coming. And so since we know it's going to come, Derek, we need to prepare for it. That's what we need to do, is to begin to prepare for it. So here's the first principle that I want to share with you. To move to the next chapter of your life, you must know when to turn the next page based on your present reality. You need to know when to turn the page to the next chapter of your life based on your present reality. What we experience, ladies and gentlemen, in life, boxers hang on to boxing way too long and end up with brain damage. Entertainers go well beyond their prime. Why? Because they like the celebrity status. They like the glitz and the glamour until one day they just look really, really bad on stage. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, we hang into the same chapter of our life way beyond the time that God wants us to move forward. In this particular pericope, in verses 1 and 2, we see that Joshua understood his present reality. He said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm old. I'm advanced in age. It's time for me to pass the baton. And so he gets all of them together and begin to share his particular situation. Ecclesiastes 3:1, part 8, tells us, to everything there is a season. To everything there is a season. And so we need to know when the season is up and the season is changing. And so we look at this particular situation, and we must know when to plan the next chapter of our lives. We must know when to move on, when to make a change. And sometimes, let me confess, changing can be scary, but it's necessary. The key is to know when to change and to be prepared for the change. I like the Kenny Rogers theology. Some of you guys remember Kenny Rogers, the Western, it's country Western singer. He wrote this song called The Gambler. And he said, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run. That's pretty good theology, y'all. It really is. Because you got to know when it's time to strike that tent, fold it up, put it under your arms, and go to the next location. God is saying to you today, you must know when to turn the page in your life based on your present reality. And some of you are looking around in your lives, mentally speaking, and you're saying, is it time for me to make a change? Only you and God can make that determination. I can't say that for you. Lisi can't say that for you. KS can't say that for you. Pastor Steve can't say that for you. Brother Don can't say that for you. You have to make that decision between you and God. Here's the second principle. And the second principle deals with what I would call past promises. The second principle, past promises. And this deals with verses 3 to 11. And here it is. To move to the next chapter in your life, you must have a relationship with God and remember He keeps His promises. It is important, ladies and gentlemen, as you move from season to season, that you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And in this particular passage, we see the author using two names for God. He uses Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God, the God that can make a promise and keep a promise. But we also see him using Elohim, or God is translated in the scriptures, and that's the strong one, or the plurality of leadership, if you will. And so, to summarize that, I believe that Joshua is saying to his readers, one, God is going to keep his promise if you have a relationship with him, and two, he is strong enough to keep that promise. So not only can he make a promise, but he can keep that promise. And so we find in Joshua 21:45, if you do a little bit of research going back, all of what God said he would do, he did. All of what God said he would do, he did. And in 2 Corinthians 1:20, Paul reminds us that all of God's promises are yes and amen. All of God's promises are yes and amen. When I was studying this passage, I noticed, Lisi, this whole concept of the law of relationship called repetition. Say repetition. Say repetition. What an author does in a particular passage is that he will repeat a word or a phrase over and over and over again, and typically he uses it for emphasis. He's trying to catch the reader's attention about what's going on in this particular passage. And so when it comes to relationship, I noted that approximately 16 times Joshua uses the phrase the Lord or the Lord your God. Approximately, now it's only 16 verses in chapter 23, and 16 times he uses the Lord or the Lord your God. He's emphasizing to the listeners that you have a relationship with this covenant-keeping God. And that relationship means that he made some promises to you, and he's going to keep those promises. And if you look back down the halls of history, he did exactly what he said he was going to do. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, God is the same God that he was yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's still keeping his promises. He is still making good on whatever he promised you and me, as well as the Israelites. Corrie Ten Boom knows about God keeping his promises. He knows about God, she knows about God being able to keep whatever promise he made. Corrie Ten Boom is a Dutch, or was a Dutch Christian watchmaker. And she lived in Germany, and during the war, the World War II, she was one of the individuals that helped to get the Jews to escape from the Holocaust. Word is she saved probably 800 different Jews from in entering, if you will, in the Holocaust. They set up different travel routes so that they can get them out of the country. Well, she made an interesting statement. One of her famous books is The Hiding Place. But she made an interesting statement. She said, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." I'm going to say it again. She said, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." Some of you are facing an unknown future, and some of you are shaking in your boots. Some of you are afraid. Some of you are worried. But you need to listen to what she said. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to an unknown God. What she's saying is, whatever your future holds, you can turn that over to God. Because God is a God that we all can count on. God is a God that we can put our trust in. God has put his resume before all of us. He's put it in word so that we have no excuse not to know him, not to trust him, and not to follow his word. The problem is too many Christians, ladies and gentlemen, reading all of these books about the Bible, but not the Bible itself. God wants you to begin to read his word so that you recognize the importance of being in a relationship with him and remembering that he's a God that can keep his promise. Here's the third and final principle that I want to share with you today. And this one deals with a future focus. Notice that the last one dealt with past promises, but this one now deals with the future. To move to the next chapter of your life, you must focus on God and his word for successful living. You must focus on God and his word for successful living. This is Joshua giving the Israelites a warning of possible future punishment in verses 12 to 16. He's basically telling them in a nutshell that if you don't follow God's word, if you don't do what God has told you to do, you're going to suffer behind it. And so he reminds them of Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. We call those the blessings and the curses, where if you read those, you'll find that God says, if you do this, then I'll do that. If you do that, then I'll do this. And so many times when the prophets would show up to Israel, they knew that they were in trouble because they knew that they had not followed God's word, or they had not obeyed God in the way that they should have. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 reminds us that we are to keep our eyes on Jesus. We are to focus on him. The same concept we see in 2 Corinthians 3:18, where, and I'm paraphrasing, but the scripture says, when we focus on Jesus, the Holy Spirit transforms us, makes us over into his image. And so the ancient text here from 12 to 16 is dealing with the future. And Joshua is warning them, don't forget God. Many times when we are making these difficult decisions, we are moving into the next chapter of our lives. God is the last one that we consult. We consult everybody else except God. We consult him when we get into trouble. But we need to consult him when we're not in trouble, when we're even contemplating what the next chapter of our life would be. 2 Peter 1:3 reminds us that God gives us everything that we need for life and godliness. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my pathway. It's God's word that will keep us. It's God's word that will deliver us. It's God's word that will help us move to the next phase of our lives. But we have to be able to apply that word to our lives. We can't just read it. We got to be hearers and, as James would say, doers of God's word. When I was studying this passage, Braylon, I began to think about my dad. My dad was the most godly man that I ever met, ladies and gentlemen. And he was one of the most successful men that I had ever met. He lived what I would call a life of being uncluttered with the trappings of the world. He was at church every week. He paid his tithes on a regular basis. In fact, when they checked the rolls at the church, they were trying to replace the trustee that had passed away. And they searched the church records, and they decided to pick my dad because in 25 years he had not missed one time of paying his tithes every month. So he was very, very consistent, diligent. He was married to my mom for 62 years, protected his family, provided for his family. 7 kids he raised, all of which went to college. But he was the most godly man that I ever met. And I sat down, KS, one time, and I asked him, I said, Daddy, I know how you live. I see how you live. Why do you live this way? And he said, well, Mark, it's simple for me. He said, when I was 11, I trusted Christ as Savior. And he said, when I got 19, I had read the Bible forward so many times that I decided to see or to test whether these scriptures were true. And so I began to live the scriptures, not just read them, but to live them to see if every word of God was true. And he said, I found out that his word is true. And I found out that he's a God that can be trusted. And that's what God is saying to you and me today. You got to focus on him. You got to focus on your word, his word, because he is a God that can be trusted. As we look down the halls of history, God moved from one chapter of history to the next chapter when he made Adam and Eve, planted them in the garden, but later he had to banish them from that garden. God moved from one chapter of history to the next chapter when man was sinning so much he had to send a flood, wipe out the entire earth except for Noah and his family and some animals, repopulated the earth as he moved to the next chapter of history. God moved from one chapter of history to the next when he took Israel out of Egyptian bondage, and as we see today, planted them in the promised land.
But the greatest move of all times was when God sent his only begotten Son to die for each one of us. In fact, Jesus stepped out of the grandstands of heaven. He took on a body of flesh. He added humanity to his deity. He healed the sick and he raised the dead, so that one day you might recognize that sometimes it's time to turn the chapter, to move to the next chapter of your life. He saved sin-sick souls, ladies and gentlemen, so that one day you might recognize just how to move to the next chapter of your life. Jesus went through six trials, not one, not two, not three, not six trials, three criminal trials, three religious trials, so that one day you will know that it's time to move to the next chapter. Nails in his hands, nails in his feet, a crown of thorns on his head. They pierced him in his side, and he died on an old rugged cross. But on the third day, he got up with all power in his hands. And he is coming back to get a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, because he too knows sometimes it's time to turn to the next chapter of your life. You know, the poet that I started out with is right. You can't start the next chapter of your life if you keep reading the last one. My challenge to you, New Hope, is that you remember what God said to you today through this feeble preacher, and that you are reminded to know just how to move to the next chapter of your life. May God bless you, and may God keep you, is my prayer.